we are so glad you're still with us on this Lenten journey as we read the book by Gina Lair, The Four Teresas. Yesterday's reading was pretty powerful, but today we are going to learn from St. Avila herself on how we can unlock the doors to our own inner castle. Our reading begins today on page 36.
In one of her transports of ecstasy, Teresa wrote, "As I write this, I am still under the power of that heavenly madness, the effect of your goodness and mercy. Oh, my King, I can no longer suffer such trials as come when I am without you. Nothing can comfort me now but you." She progressed to such unity with God that she longed for nothing more than his presence within her. We have the advantage of learning from Teresa's wisdom and experience. As we seek to love God with our whole soul, she teaches us the importance of these three things. 1, overcoming sin. 2, developing virtue. And 3, offering our entire will to God.
Overcoming sin. Returning to the image of our souls as beautiful crystal castles, the question arises, how much have we done to keep the crystal clear? Have we made our souls beautiful mansions for God, or have we allowed our souls to become dank and dingy? When we remember that we are hosting an honored guest, we're more likely to keep our souls clean, to repent of sin and strive for holiness. Sometimes we imagine that the saints easily conquered sin, but more often than not, they too had to work diligently to recognize and eliminate sinful behavior. Saint Teresa was no exception. She spent years becoming aware of her own failings and striving to overcome them. She recalls,
"It was some time before I came to see it. I knew perfectly well that I had a soul, but I did not understand what that soul merited or who dwelt within it. I think if I had understood then, as I do now, how this great King really dwells within this little palace of my soul, I should not have left him alone so often, but should have stayed with him and never have allowed his dwelling place to get so dirty." The question of sin is really a question of love. Saint Teresa assures us that if we resist sin out of love for God, he can make a magnificent dwelling in our soul. This requires effort and sacrifice, working diligently to recognize our sins and praying for grace to overcome them. It involves striving to give up our sins, even while we are still attached to them. Saint Teresa speaks about the attachments to worldly vanity that she had so much trouble overcoming. Becoming holy takes perseverance and dedication, but Teresa helps motivate us. Speaking of the union of the soul with God, she says, "On arriving at this state, the soul clearly sees that there are no riches, estates, honors, or delights that can give it such satisfaction, even for the twinkling of an eye. For this is the true joy, the content that can be seen to satisfy."
Developing virtue. Working to overcome sin is the first step to uniting our souls to God. But true love is not satisfied with simply overcoming problems. True love goes further, offering unnecessary expressions of devotion. We want to do more than just avoid evil. We want to cultivate goodness. Saint Teresa knew that developing virtue was part of truly loving Jesus. She presents the image of the virtues as beautiful adornments that make our interior castle a fit dwelling place for the King. She believed that two of the greatest virtues are detachment and humility.
Developing detachment. By detachment, St. Teresa means freedom from craving worldly things. This virtue frees us to pursue the truly important and fulfilling things in life. St. Teresa had an insight into this virtue when she ventured away from the convent to visit a prominent and wealthy woman. While staying at the home of this noble lady, Teresa was able to see all the constraints that constantly burden such a life, always dressing, eating, and socializing according to her noble rank made this woman little more than a slave. The distractions of this worldly existence made St. Teresa long to return to the simplicity that allowed her to focus on Jesus. St. Teresa recognized the great irony that the masters of the world are often slaves to pomp and circumstance. The virtue of detachment frees us from this slavery. St. Teresa assures us that when we stay focused on our true master, our cravings for these limited delights will begin to disappear.
Deep down, Teresa assures us, we know it is a mistake to think that these fleeting earthly things can compete with being united to God. In the end, what good are honors, pleasures, and successes if they detract from our relationship with God? When we choose these worldly things over Him, we are not fully loving Him. Detachment frees us to love the way we are called to love, foreign though it may be in the eyes of the world. Even St. Teresa referred to her love of Jesus as heavenly madness. Yet Teresa struggled during the course of her life to overcome selfish attachments, particularly her desire for the approval of others and the pleasures of being popular. Humility was an essential virtue in this task. In fact, she came to believe that this was the most important virtue in the spiritual life.
Growing in humility. A disclaimer begins St. Teresa's autobiography. She states that if her confessor, who instructed her to write the book, had allowed it, she would have spent her time reporting on her sins and faults. She begs a reader to bear in mind her many failings as they read about the favors the Lord granted her. This humility is St. Teresa's fundamental attitude throughout her book. She recognizes her own weaknesses, which makes her the more grateful for the gifts and graces God gave her. St. Teresa's genuine expressions of humility are woven throughout her stories and her teachings. We also learn by observing her example. She was quick to admit faults and slow to accuse anyone else. She constantly gave thanks for the benefits she received, never expecting or demanding them. She paid tribute to those who were wiser and holier than her, always seeking guidance and advice instead of presuming on her own knowledge or insights. All this from a woman who experienced raptures, ecstasies, and visions, who became a doctor of the church, and who was destined to be one of the most popular mystical writers in all of history. The great saint knew God's infinite goodness in such an intimate way that she was keenly aware of her finite limitations. She had a deep awareness of the free gifts God had given her, gifts she could never earn. Her humility stemmed from her profound understanding of the mercy and goodness of God.
It is fitting that St. Teresa never claimed to be an example of humility, but she did write directly about the importance of the virtue. She believed that all the other virtues, and indeed the whole spiritual life, depend upon humility because it grounds us in reality. She wrote, "To be humble is to walk in truth." Humility keeps us from any false notions about ourselves or about God. Humility is the antidote to the sin of pride, which denies our complete dependence on God. Humility does not mean downplaying our gifts or talents in order to avoid boasting. Neither does humility produce weak people who cannot assert themselves. These are common misconceptions. Authentically humble people simply know who they are because they know how they relate to God. St. Teresa felt we could never succeed in knowing ourselves unless we were seeking to know God. He's our creator, so our very existence is a gift from Him. He sustains our life, and He knows us better than we know ourselves. Acknowledging this means we realize our complete dependence on God. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Him. Our selfish tendencies, compared to the selfless love of God, who sent His Son to die for us, and our powerlessness. God is all powerful and we are not. Knowledge of God is also reassuring because we know God created us out of love. This love gives us the confidence to trust in His power over our lives.
St. Teresa believed that humility would never disquiet, trouble, or disturb the soul. Rather, peace, joy, and tranquility always accompany this virtue. When this peace is present in the soul, it is not difficult to trust in God. Knowing His goodness and power is comforting once we acknowledge our own limits. With this humble trust in God, we can freely and confidentially surrender our lives to His loving care.
Offering her will to God. Surrender to God was an essential element in preparing St. Teresa for her soul's union with Him. She frequently pointed out that any union a soul has with God comes through divine initiative. The Lord is free to unite Himself to a soul that has not followed the specific guidelines she presents. but she encourages us to continue to draw water from the well diligently rather than wait for a rainfall from heaven. Giving our wills to God prepares the climate of our souls, and the rains are much more likely to come when the climate is right. Saint Teresa knew it would be a mistake not to resign herself completely to what the Lord was doing in her life, because he knows exactly what suits each of us. Our vision is limited. It is often difficult for us to put our lives into the big picture of God's will for us. We sometimes fight God when troubles arise, presuming that we know better than he does. It's much more fruitful to humbly accept what is happening, trusting that God knows what he's doing, even if we don't.
God gave us his Son, who gave us the perfect example of complete loving surrender to the Father when he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." Luke 22:42. We make the same prayer every time we say the Our Father. Saint Teresa encourages us to pray these words honestly. When we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," we are offering our will to God. Love is at the root of our surrender. Jesus loved us enough to die for us, and he gave everything to be in a loving relationship with us. But he will not force us to love him in return. That would not be love. Instead, he invites us to love him and awaits our response. He does not manipulate or pressure us. We decide whether or not we will say yes to his invitation.
Again, we're going to keep this discussion short because we think the important part here is the content of the book. So we encourage everybody again to go back and re-listen to that portion of the book. Very powerful stuff. And you know, there's a lot of tools out there that we have that can help us grow in our prayer life and grow in holiness. And Veronica's husband, Matthew Leonard, if you have not heard of him, he actually has a very good website that can help us to grow in our prayer life. Anybody want to tackle giving us a summary of the tools he's got available for us?
The platform, Signs of Sainthood, I think what Matthew has done so brilliantly is to take a lot of the spiritual classics, the writers, read through it all and streamed it down for the average person, not just laity. I mean, seminarians, priests, it's just a brilliantly systematic approach that he calls the Science of Sainthood.
I think one of the things that Matthew has a gift for bringing forward to people too is the fact that this is an invitation for all of us. Like, having a deep prayer life and moving towards real, true, transformative union with God is actually what Christians are supposed to be doing, not just doctors of the church, canonized saints, or reformers of you know, major religious orders. We're really all called to this. We're invited to this, and that the power and the grace, the intervention of God to make this happen in Teresa's life is available to all of us through our baptism, through our confirmation. It doesn't manifest in the same way. It doesn't look the same. We're all invited to this kind of transformative union. The access point, and this is, I think, the greatest nugget of what I took in the process of researching, are just like the importance of uniting with God through prayer. You know, I can even say, like, it is kind of a bizarre experience for me encountering this book at different stages in my life. You know, when I wrote it, when I was doing all the research, it was having relevance for me in my life at the time and where I was. By the time the thing got published, I had just had my second child. You know, now I have six. My youngest is in kindergarten. Just so many different phases in my life. And even as I'm looking back at this today and hearing her call to prayer, I feel it in such a different way than I did when I wrote it, or than I would have even, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, 2 years ago. I've been on my own journey, my own development of recognizing the transformative power and the importance of prayer. I'm committed to it now in a way that I wasn't when I wrote the book. And so it's just interesting on our journeys. We touch into these things at different points, but we're all making that forward progress. And Teresa reminds us that this ultimately leads us to total transformative, blissful union with Christ if we just don't stop.
I think that's true about everything in life, though. Your relationship with your husband changes from when you're dating to when you become an empty nester. Ditto for your kids. It changes from a newborn to they've grown up, they've become an adult in each stage. So I think your changing relationship with your own book is kind of a common thing.
You know, as we move on, just a couple things, the litany of humility. So she mentioned humility a lot. That's a beautiful prayer that if you Google it, it really is a really great thing. If you aren't praying anything now, like just to pull that up and just sit in the beginning of your day with that. But the other last thing I wanted to bring up was just when she went to go visit that secular woman, and she was observing all the dressing and all the slavery that, and it was such an interesting way of wording it, that actually we become enslaved by all this. And we're going to go on to, you know, certainly St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, but, you know, basically the joy that actually the children in India actually show and exude. And it's not because they're living in poverty. It's because they have simplicity. And sometimes it's us in Western civilization that are more enslaved. And knowing that she was experiencing this several hundred years ago.
Right? We think this is a challenge of our times. But the reality is it's been going on for hundreds of years, for ages. You know, I want to wrap things up now for today because I really want to encourage everybody to go re-listen to the first 10 minutes or so of this podcast. What Gina wrote, what she shared with us from St. Teresa of Avila is so powerful. And it's the tools we need to open that inner castle so we can have that intimate relationship with the Lord ourselves. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back tomorrow with more great content. I guarantee you everything coming forward is going to be, it's going to be one good nugget after another. As we continue on our Lenten retreat, the Four Teresas with Gina Lair on Living Witnesses.